praise God tonight for the old rugged cross. There's no message like the message of the cross. That's where we find forgiveness. That's where we find redemption. That's why we preach the cross. We preach the Christ of the cross. Thank you most sincerely, Rochelle, for those beautiful messages and song. And we look forward to hearing from you in a moment or two's time. Can I bid you all a very warm word of welcome along to our gospel mission tonight, the commencement of the second and concluding week of this gospel campaign. I want to thank you all most sincerely for coming, and we pray the Lord will bless you as you are amongst us tonight. For those who are visiting, we want to extend to you that very special word of welcome. We do trust that you feel at home amongst us here, and it's always good to have visitors with us, especially during these nights of gospel mission. And we encourage you to come back again night after night in the week that lies before us. Now, if you have come tonight expecting to hear the Reverend Higginson, I'm sorry, but you're going to be disappointed, and badly disappointed. Mr. Higginson is preaching in his own church tonight in Coleraine, but he will be back, God willing, tomorrow night, then each night through until Friday, and also next Lord's Day evening, which will see the conclusion of our gospel mission. And so we want you to come night after night, if at all possible, 8 o'clock each night for the gospel mission. And do remember the time of prayer, please. God's people, come and pray for the mission each night. Come that little bit earlier at 7:30 and pray for the preacher. Nothing encourages the preacher so much as to hear people in the prayer meeting praying. And so come each night 7:30 before the time of mission. There'll be singers along each night again this week. And tomorrow night, our sister Mrs. Vivian McCoy will be here to sing. And if you need transport any night, that will be available. Please just let us know and we'll get you here. Don't worry about that, and we'll get you home again. But please do plan to be here as often as you can. The mission is halfway through and we're almost over. And we've really been enjoying the preaching of the Word of God night after night. And we don't want you to miss any of the nights that lie before us in this week, because the Lord has been here. The Lord has been speaking, the Lord has been working, and your heart will be thrilled, your heart will be encouraged. So come along and seek to bring others as well with you. There are still invitations there in the hallway. If there are still areas that you can cover, you take those leaflets with you, and whatever's left then after tonight, we'll use them and get them around the rest of the doors in the local area. So come along each night and seek to bring others with you as well. And if you've asked already and they won't come, well, just you go back and you ask again. And go back again and ask, and go back again and ask. And don't give up on inviting people. Do you remember the other meetings, please, Tuesday and Thursday, the early morning prayer meetings at 6 a.m. And then on Friday night, the last weeknight of the mission, we're going to have a love offering. That'll be a retiring offering, and that'll be going in its entirety to the Reverend Higginson as a token of your appreciation for him coming night after night, giving of his time, travelling down each night from Coleraine. And this is a way that you can show your support in a tangible way to God's servant. And so that love offering will be on Friday night, just after the meeting. And if you want to give to that, then you'll be more than welcome to do so. Also on Friday night, we're going to have tea for everybody. So there's no excuse to come on Friday night. Our young people will be singing on Friday night. And also our sister Victoria Salt. Victoria was to come one of the other nights, but she's going to come on Friday night as well and sing along with our youth fellowship. And please do remember, young people, in relation to that, we want you to stay behind, please, for a singing practice immediately after the meeting tonight. And then the meetings next Lord's Day, 7:30, the early morning time of prayer, 10:15, Sabbath school and Bible classes, 11:30, morning worship, and I will be here in the will of the Lord to preach. 3 o'clock, the meeting in the care home, and then at 7 o'clock next Lord's Day evening, that will be the conclusion of our gospel mission. And the Reverend Higginson, God willing, will be back with us to bring the final message in that gospel mission. We want you to keep praying for him and praying for the mission each day at 12 o'clock midday. Just lift your heart to the Lord and just pray that the Lord will bless the mission and that the Lord will bring in the lost and those who have been invited that they would come in and that the Lord would bless the preacher as he comes night after night. Let the Bible Speak magazines are available. If you didn't get one, there are, well, I'm not sure if maybe they're all gone. If they're not all gone, you take one with you tonight. Saturday the 2nd of May, that'll be a special sending forth service for our sister Miss Joanne Greer and the Reverend Dave DeCanio, missionaries in Liberia. As you will know, they've had to come home for this time because of the Ebola crisis, but the situation has improved such that they will be able to return, God willing, in the month of May. So there'll be a special sending forth service for them on Saturday the 2nd of May in our Ballymena church at 7:30, and you will be welcome along to that. Then also the following Saturday, 9th of May, in our Hillsborough church, there'll be a night of male voice praise at 7:30. So those are meetings to keep before you. 394 is our offering hymn. 394. During the week, we do not lift an offering, but with this being our normal Lord's Day services, we will lift a retiring offering. But if you haven't come prepared to give, please don't worry about that. Just pass the plate along. Don't be embarrassed. We don't want your silver. We're more concerned about your soul. And you don't be worried about that. But we'll sing the hymn number 394 as we keep our seats. I should have said as well that the Missionary Council offering for last week, including a Missionary Council box that came in to a total of £212. We want to thank you most sincerely for your giving to the Lord's work and the missionary cause of our church. 394. We'll keep our seats as we sing this hymn, O Christ in Thee, My Soul Hath Found. Keep in our seats, please, for the opening verses. Stand together for verse 4, please. Verse 4, standing to sing. have these little booklets available that we've been announcing each night, A New Beginning. It very plainly sets forth a way of salvation and answers many questions as well that God's people have dealing with temptations and doubts and trials and all of that. Please take as many with you as you want. They're all free. And if they're any use to you, then please do take them with you. You'll be encouraged as you read them. And perhaps you can even take them and give them to a friend this week at work and invite them along to the mission. Give them that little booklet to read. And if they don't come to the mission, well, at least they have the Word of God in their own hand. So please make use of those. If there are none left in the hallway, there's another box there in the old recording room. But there's plenty of them. Take them with you, please, and use them. I'm going to ask our sister Rochelle to come again, please, and sing for us at this stage. Thank you.
That's weary, tending a load of care. Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? Do you know, my Jesus? Do you know?
Michelle, we want to thank you most sincerely tonight for coming and for helping us in our gospel mission tonight. We certainly have enjoyed your ministry in song. We pray the Lord will continue to bless you and your family as well at this time. We're turning tonight in the Word of God to the Old Testament. And to the book of Isaiah, please, Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And I also want you to keep your finger in another book on over in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 5. We will refer to Daniel chapter 5 through the course of the message, but the text that the Lord very clearly and definitely has given to me for this gospel mission tonight is a text that I have to be honest that I don't feel capable of preaching. A text that I sought to get away from this week, but a text that I could not get away from. And a text, I believe, for someone in this meeting. And I pray that beyond the voice of any preacher tonight, you'll hear the voice of God. Isaiah chapter 14, we're just going to read one verse together. Verse number 9. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9. Hail from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. Hail from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. We're going to still our hearts and another word of prayer. And I encourage God's people, please pray. And dear unconverted one tonight, may God speak to you like never he has spoken before. May God challenge your heart tonight through his precious word. Heavenly Father, we want to thank thee tonight for the ministry and song. And Lord, for those lovely pieces brought to our hearts tonight. O God, as we come now to thy word, as we come to preach the word thou hast given, we ask, O God, that tonight you'll give help. We pray, Lord, that you'll stand with us and stand amongst us. Lord, give help in the preaching, give help in the hearing. Open blinded eyes, unstopped blocked ears, we pray tonight. Lord, break down indifference, carelessness, and apathy. Lord, speak tonight with that voice that wakes the dead. Hear an answer prayer for us. We pray this in thy name and for thy glory alone. Amen. One after one, all the kings of Babylon reveled in their greatness and their pride. They were elevated to great heights and they enjoyed tyrannical rules. From its first mention way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 10 and chapter 11, in the reference to the Tower of Babel, which is the same basic word for Babylon, this empire has always been associated with a rebellion against God and rebellion against God's people. Babylon has well earned itself the reputation of being the empire of despotic rulers and wicked intentions against God and all those who were his. It is consistently seen as the symbol of defiance, of evil, and eventually it grew to a position of great power and great influence, capturing lands and people. It became an empire to be feared. Its rulers never took too kindly to any who would dare question their authority or undermine their rule. The kings of Babylon, one after the other, therefore, were the great enemies and the oppressors of God's people. In Babylonish captivity, the people were treated with absolute contempt and total disregard. And I know they were there because of their own sin, yet their treatment at the hands of their oppressors was fierce and cruel. And all of this, I believe, signifies the awful reign of tyranny and tyranny of sin. Because you see, behind it all, Behind all these rulers, there is the supreme ruler of tyranny, evil, and wickedness against God's people. That is the devil himself. The prince of darkness, the hater of God, and the worker of all evil. And so Babylon signifies and depicts the work and the witness of the devil, the reign of sin and terror. It speaks of all that sin entails and all that sin involves. However, in Isaiah chapter 14, the tyrant of Babylon is coming to an end. The rule of oppression is going to be overthrown. This chapter, chapter 14 of Isaiah, foretells and prophesies the end of the empire of Babylon. And especially, I believe, it speaks of the terrible end and destruction of its last king, Belshazzar. Isaiah chapter 14 is a prophecy about this man, Belshazzar. The last king of Babylon, before the kingdom was taken over by the Medes and Persians. Belshazzar was the terror of the mighty in the land of the living. But now he is brought low. Now, as we read in verse 15 of Isaiah chapter 14, he's brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. We read of the details of Belshazzar's death and destruction in Daniel chapter 5. And that's why I've asked you to keep your finger in it, because we will refer there in a few moments' time. But the details there are very familiar, I'm sure, to many. It details for us that wild party. It details for us the writing on the wall. And eventually it details for us the total wipeout of this despotic ruler. And in the most vivid and in the most dramatic of terms, and indeed the most solemn of verses, Isaiah chapter 14 and the verse 9 describes the fate that awaited this man at the end of his life. The welcome that he received from hell at the end of his life on earth. Listen to those words again. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Hell from beneath, Belshazzar, is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. You say tonight, but preacher, what has this got to do with me? I'm no ruler of any world empire. I'm no Belshazzar. No, you're not. But I'll tell you what you are. If you're here without Christ, you're just the same as Belshazzar. Just the same as we all were by nature. You're all sinners. And at the end which Belshazzar experienced will be the end that all sinners will experience if they leave this scene of time, go out into God's great eternity. You see, tonight for you, dear sinner, in this meeting, hell is burning beneath your feet. The flames of hell are licking around your feet. Hell is stirred tonight. The fury and the wrath of hell is stirred up for those who are in this meeting tonight without Christ. Could it be? Could it be that for someone in this meeting tonight, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming? What an awful thing it would be. What an awful fate it would be to have sat in this gospel mission this very night, and yet for this same night, hell to be stirred for thy coming. Sinner, tonight, you die without Christ. You continue on in your sinful life and you go out into eternity in your sin. Then this is your welcome at the gates of hell. Hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. The sinners, welcome to hell. I want you to notice some things with me here. I want you to see, first of all, with me, the damnation of the sinner. We live today in a world which places little of any real consequence on sin. The law of God, the commandments of God are set aside with little thought. Little thought as to its effects that it will bring. But you see, setting aside sin and making little of sin and making light of sin, that sin really has no consequence, then you are disregarding sin. Sin today is brushed off as nothing and neglected for what it really is. Sin has fallen out of the vocabulary of many. Oh yes, for those who commit the terrible crimes. The child molester, the murderer, the wife beater, the fraudster. Yes, that's sin. And so those who commit such sins need to be punished. But there is a real problem today. And that is that people will not realize that sin is universal. We are all born in sin. David said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." The very moment of our conception, we were born in sin because of that nature which we inherited from Adam and passed down from generation to generation, and none have missed out. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the coverage of all. There's not one person in this world tonight but doesn't fall under this category of sin. And then there's the consequence, come short. Come short. A falling short of the standard that God requires. And no man by himself or of himself can meet those standards. You think tonight, yes, you're good enough. You can meet the standards. You're a charitable person and that's good enough. You're a good person. You've never done any harm to anybody. And that's sufficient. But you see, the problem of sin is so detestable that there is nothing that you or I can do to meet the standards that God requires. You see, sinner, tonight the chasm of sin is so great that nothing of man and no man, no woman can ever be brought to God by their own efforts. Satisfaction for sin, the only payment for sin that God accepts is the payment of His Son on the cross through His precious blood. But the problem is that if that sin in your life tonight, dear unconverted friend, is not dealt with, if it's not washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you go out into God's eternity still in your sin, then just as Belshazzar was, you will be damned in your sin as well. That's exactly what happened to Belshazzar. He was a big sinner, but nonetheless he was a sinner. Sin damned his soul in hell. And on the day of his death that night, hell from beneath was moved at his coming. It was as if hell was waiting to receive that man that night. Hell from beneath erupted, the fury of God's wrath exploded, and hell received another sinner. That day Belshazzar's soul became the kindle that flamed and fueled the fires of hell. And what a tragedy it would be tonight if sinners sitting in this meeting, and your soul was also used to fuel and flame the fires of hell. As we notice the damnation of the sinner, I want you to see the want and disregard here. I want you to turn over for a moment to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. Because I said in this chapter there is the record of the downfall of Belshazzar, the last king of Babylon. And so this destruction of the downfall of Babylon in Isaiah 14 is personified and demonstrated in the downfall of its last king, who is Belshazzar. In the opening verses of Daniel chapter 5, there is a wanton disregard for the things of God. Belshazzar calls for this party. In the midst of his wicked lifestyle, and as far as he was concerned, he was at the pinnacle of his supremacy. He throws this party to display his great pomp and his pride. You see, that very same day, his kingdom was being brought low, and he himself was being brought low. His life was nearing an end, but Belshazzar, rather than calling on God and creating repentance and faith, he rather calls for feasting and frolicking and sin. And you know, isn't that just the way the sinner lives? Oh, you know that death is near. You live in the midst of death every day. You face death on a daily basis. You read of it. You hear of it. It's been in your family, and yet you take no regard of it. And you will not heed the warning. You will not do anything about your sin. You just continue on in your sin. Maybe it's not to the same extent as Belshazzar was involved in, but sin is sin is sin. There's the sin of disobedience, knowing that you need to be saved, and yet not being saved. The sin of denial, denying that you actually need to be saved. Salvation is for someone else, but not actually me. There's the sin of disregard, disregarding the invitation to be saved. Thinking that it has no relevance to you, sinner, tonight, whatever sin, secret, open, you are committing, it's all sin. Sin will damn your soul in hell. Those verses in Daniel 5, Belshazzar takes that which was used, you look there in verse 3, he takes that which was to be used to glorify God in the house of God, and he abused it in the gratification of self. What did he do? He drank himself stupid. He was so consumed with drink and alcohol, and he ensured that all the rest of his party were so overcome with it as well. The drink wrecked and ruined his life. Isn't that the sad story of so many lives? Alcohol got a grip. And look where alcohol led him in verse number 4. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold. It led to idolatry. Someone has rightly said that when the drink is in, the wit is out. Alcohol is a substance that controls and contaminates the life. A little drink, no. Because a little drink leads to another and to another and to another, and eventually can lead to all sorts of wicked behavior, as it did in the life of Belshazzar. But you see, rather than getting on his knees before Almighty God in humble repentance and pleading for forgiveness, Belshazzar wantonly disregards God. And tonight in your sin, that's exactly what you're doing. Oh, maybe you won't admit it. You don't want to acknowledge it. But that's exactly what's happening. You're turning your back on God. You're rejecting God. And you may well reject him for one last time. And if this is your last opportunity to get saved, you go out into God's eternity still rejecting God. Hell from beneath. Hell from beneath will be moved at thy coming to meet thee. Your soul, your sin will damn your soul in hell. Oh, Belshazzar had it all. And he displayed this wanton disregard for the things of God. But there's not only this wanton disregard, but there is also the warning described, because in the midst of this great party, in the midst of this drunkenness, God steps in and he issues a warning. Meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin. Belshazzar, you're finished. You're weighed in the balances and you're found wanting. That was the sum and the substance of his life. It wasn't about his great power. It wasn't about his great pomp, his great prestige. It was about his great problem, sin. Sin. Weighed in the balances and found wanting. He fell short. He didn't measure up. It was a warning to this man. It was a warning to this big sinner to wise up. He lived his life in sin, and if he died in sin, he'd be lost in hell forever. And sinner, tonight God steps into this meeting. And with his own hand, he sums up your life as well. Three letters, sin. S-I-N. Whatever sin it is. And tonight he warns you to flee from sin. He issues the warning that the wages of sin is death. Death in hell without God. Separation forever without the Lord. And if you remain in your sin tonight, die in your sin, hell from beneath will be moved at thy coming to meet thee. There's the worry depicted there in verse 6, Daniel 5. Then the king's countenance was changed. His thoughts troubled him. So much so that the joints of his loins were loosed, his knees smote one against the other. He was literally shaking with fear, fear under conviction. The guilt of sin had weighed upon him. The weight of sin weighed upon him. What's happening here? I know what's happening here, I'll tell you. His sin was catching up with him. His sin was being exposed for all to see. His sinful life was being laid bare. There was no hiding place now. Oh, he couldn't hide behind the pomp and the prestige of his kingdom and his rule. He was being laid bare. He was being shown for what exactly he was. I pray, sinner, tonight God shows you exactly what you are. A sinner in need of God's salvation. May God expose your sin tonight. God steps into your life and steps into this meeting, tells you to wise up. He tells you to come to Christ, to flee from the wrath that is to come, to escape the wrath and the condemnation of God which is on your life for sin. And tonight find refuge and find rest alone in him. God's warning you tonight. God's speaking to you tonight. And as God speaks, may you respond. You see, tonight we're only but a heartbeat away. Sinner, tonight you're only one heartbeat away from hell. You're only one breath away from a lost sinner's hell. That night Belshazzar was near the end, but he didn't realize it. He had been warned. He had been told. Maybe tonight you've come into this meeting just as unconcerned as ever. You came here tonight not thinking much was going to happen. But God may step in, and I pray God does step into your life tonight. And I pray God does show you just exactly how you are, that tonight you stand on the very precipice of hell, on the very edge of destruction, and you need God. You need him. Then We come to the end of Daniel 5, there is the wrath descended. The writing on the wall, the wise men, the astrologers, soothsayers, all the rest of it, they try to explain it, but they don't, they can't. But Daniel comes and explains the writing. And basically it is that this sinner has lifted himself up against God. And you know what God's going to do now to this sinner? God's going to lift himself up against this sinner and destroy him. It's finished. It's over. Because in Daniel chapter 5 and the verse 30, we read those words, in that night. In that night, Belshazzar was slain. His kingdom was finished. His partying was over. That night he went to hell. That night, the wrath and the fury of a holy God was poured out upon this sinner. That very night, hell from beneath was moved for him. The fury, the wrath, the flames of hell engulfed and surrounded Belshazzar. Hell opened. Hell erupted to receive Belshazzar that night. Hell welcomed that sinner. The wrath of God descended. Belshazzar was damned. He was lost. That night which started partying on earth, finished it with punishment in hell. Oh, we never imagined it would end like that. Oh, he thought he was invincible. He thought he could live as he pleased and it made no difference. He could rebel God and denounce God all he wanted and it would have no consequence. But that night he realized that sin pays high wages. That night he realized that there is a cause to sin, that sin will be judged, and that you will be damned for your sin if you haven't turned from it. Maybe tonight you've convinced yourself in this meeting you can live on in your sin. You've lived in sin all your life, and as we heard during the week, that's the way it's always going to be. No, it doesn't have to be that way. Tonight you can be saved. Tonight I urge you in God's name to flee from the wrath of God which is coming. Because there is a day of righteous wrath. Don't, sinner, don't let this night for you end in hell. It's too late for Belshazzar, but there's time for you. Because God in his grace and God in his mercy has brought you to this gospel mission tonight, and he's brought you here for a reason, that you might have one last opportunity to get right with God. The wise man says, he that been often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. Make sure tonight that's not you. The damnation of the sinner, but let's see as well here the derision of the sufferers. If you turn back to Isaiah chapter 14. In Isaiah chapter 14 in the verse 9. There are some most sobering and chilling words here foretelling exactly the reception and the welcome that this sinner and all sinners will receive at their coming to hell. Oh, there's no glad welcome here compared to the glad welcome that we speak of from those who die in Christ, receive from the Lord in heaven. There's no warm words of cheer. Oh, it's good to see you. We're glad you're here. No boasting in hell about the splendors or glories of that place, because there are no splendors or glories in hell. There's no grand tourist brochure describing its beauty and its bounty. No gushing tourist reviews about this destination. No five-star TripAdvisor reviews about this place. No wish you were here, postcards from hell. Hell's a place of eternal damnation, but hell's also a place of eternal desolation. You look at those words in verse 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. Talks about the dead being stirred up, all the chief ones. You know, death is a great leveler. All those mighty and powerful rulers of earthly kingdoms, they were all brought down low and brought down to hell. Their influence on this earth, their position on this earth, it made no difference. They all died and went to hell. All those whom Belshazzar had sought to belittle on earth, and he sought to overpower, and he sought to overcome, all those that he had inflicted great terror and torment on, now he's brought down to share the same hell as therein. All those people derided on earth, those awful murderers, criminals, those people that inflicted the worst of crimes in society, those who during the years of the troubles here in our own province, who went out in the darkness of the night and butchered and murdered and slew innocent victims and lives, they've been brought low. But I tell you, sinner, tonight, if you don't repent of your sins, if you don't turn to Christ and turn to Him tonight, you'll share their same hell. Notice in verse number 10, all they shall speak and say unto thee. Hell's a place of sensation. You'll be able to speak. You'll be able to feel pain. You'll be able to sense your need. You'll be as alive then as you are now. It's not a place of annihilation, as some will teach. It's a place of sensation. And those already in hell spoke to Belshazzar. And as hell was opened to receive him, they said, oh, you're not so great now. Art thou become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Belshazzar, you're not so powerful now. The one who looked down on us on earth, the one who derided us on earth, the one who thought he was better than us on earth, he's now brought down and humbled in this same place of torment. We can often look down at people and condemn their awful crimes on humanity, and rightly so. But you know, many of those who are doing the condemning on earth, they will share the same hell as those that they are condemning, because sin has been unrepented of. In whatever shape or form, they've gone to the same hell because they've rejected the same Christ. Notice the derision that continues there in verse 11. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Oh, the pomp of the palace now is replaced with the humility of hell. Those vials, those musical instruments which would have serenaded him on earth have been replaced now with the howls from the sufferers in hell. Oh, there's no rich carpets here now. No regal robes to adorn this man. Instead of being wrapped in gold and silk, look, in verse 11, he's covered in worms. Who would have thought it? The proud, the lofty, the haughty, the mighty Belshazzar, he's brought down. It just goes to prove, folks, doesn't it, that the only thing in life that matters is not what you have in this life. The only thing in this life that matters for eternity is your soul. You brought nothing into this world. You can be sure you'll take nothing out of it bar your eternal, never-dying soul. How's your soul tonight? Is your soul right with God? There's the congregation of the sufferers, but notice as well the conscience of self there. Christ, speaking of hell in Mark chapter 9, makes reference to that same idea that's talked about there in Isaiah 14 and verse 11. Describes hell as the place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That worm of conscience which gnaws away. Like the worm from the ground which eats away and gnaws away at the dead body. So will the worm of conscience eat away at the sinner in hell. In hell, Belshazzar would remember his last night on earth. In hell, Belshazzar would remember that writing on the wall. He would remember that warning from the Lord. He would remember the worry of self. He remembered the anxiety. He would remember how his countenance was changed. And those thoughts, what's happening here? He'd remember all of those things. You know, sinner in hell, you will remember like never before every pang of conviction. You'll remember this meeting tonight. Not because of this preacher or this preaching. But you'll remember this meeting tonight because of what God has been speaking to your heart and your soul. You'll remember those times when people came to you and they put their hands on their shoulders and they said to you, is it not time you got saved? You'll remember those times when some dear friend in this congregation came up to you and very gently in love to your soul said, I'm praying for you, is not time you were saved? Those times you sat in this church and you couldn't disagree with what was being preached. You knew that things weren't right in your life. You knew that things needed to be put right in your life, yet you did nothing about it. You just wandered on. You lived as if God was a liar. You lived as if God would not judge your sin. The worm of conscience will never rest in hell. Those fires will never be consumed, the fire of God's wrath. For your sin, moment after moment, day after day, you'll feel the effects of your sin. And like the man in Luke 16, you'll be in torments. And just a drop of water to cool your tongue, but it's not coming. It's not coming. What does sin offer you? All sin offers you tonight is a life in hell. That's it. The damnation of the sinner. The derision of the sufferers. But as we close tonight, I want you to notice here the deliverance of the Savior. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. But it need not be so. Because the first part of this chapter is a very different tone. It speaks about a different type of person. Not the God rejectors like Belshazzar, but the God receivers. Those who receive by faith that which God has offered in his eternal covenant of redemption, what is it? It's life eternal. It's salvation from sin, salvation from hell. It's deliverance from the terrors of hell and the assurance of heaven when this life is over. I just have time to show you one word. Isaiah 14 and verse 1. For the Lord will have mercy. Mercy. Just one word. But what a blessed word. It signifies that today there's hope. It signifies that right now at this very moment, sinner, there's hope for you. Do you know that it's on the mercy of God that we weren't all damned in hell the day we were born? That's what we deserved. But in loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me. Sinner, tonight it's because of God's mercy that you're not already damned. His long suffering, that you're not already damned and lost in hell. There is tonight deliverance to be experienced. There is tonight mercy to be received. There is tonight grace to be enjoyed. Because tonight God has provided a way of escape. A way to escape the eternal punishment of hell forevermore. A way to flee from the wrath that is to come. A way to escape hell. And it's all because of the mercy of God. God, who is rich in mercy. With his great love wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. How? Together with Christ. Christ.